Leaving before the invitation. Some of you haven't even showed up this morning, much less leave before. Someone asked me the other day how many people we had coming to church. I said, well, it's according to what Sunday you're there. I said, since the beginning of the year, we've had 95, 80, 64 last week, 70-some a few weeks ago, 55. I said, today's about 55, too. So whenever you leave, when you go from 95 to 55, or that's kind of a big jump. I know we've got a lot of sick people. We've had a lot going on. We've got people who have lost loved ones this week, and families are not here yet. They're not. Everybody's not gone back, and they're still comforting each other. We've got a lot of things happening around us. It's a busy time, but we don't need to forget where we need to be from time to time. And if there's someone here that's not here this morning, find out what's going on. See if they are sick. You never can tell. Someone will say, well, I've been sick a week and ain't nobody called me. And I thought, well, you could have let me know you were about to die. But anyway, so we need to find out what's happening to our folks this morning. John and Mary had been married for 25 years, and they had two teenagers. She put him through medical school, and last year they had finally paid off the bills that had accumulated during medical school. Last Sunday, John walks into the house and he announces that God has called him into the ministry to be a medical missionary in Bosnia. Now, and he says, if Johnny and Susie, our teenagers, get part-time jobs, and Mary, if you go back to work, and my sister can take care of my sick parents, you know what? I can go to seminary and we can fulfill God's calling. Everybody happy? I don't think so. We forget that Jesus called His disciples to a second career. They too had families, careers, bills, and aging parents. Can you imagine if there was a phone that rang back in that time and Peter did not come to work again today? And the boss says, is he still running around the countryside with that itinerant preacher? Think of Peter's wife. She married a successful fisherman. Now she's the wife of a preacher with a mother who is very sick and needs help. Everybody happy? No wonder people leave before the invitation is given. Too risky sometimes to stay seated. Why become vulnerable in that time to an experience that could change the rest of your life? You could hear the life-altering call of God. But you know what? There are positives as well. You see, the call of God can be an awesome experience. How awed Peter must have been with the miraculous catch of fish that day. It was a miracle in the ordinary experiences of everyday life. God does that, you know. He reveals Himself and His call to a shoeless shepherd through a burning bush. He calls a red-headed kid from tending sheep to be a shepherd king of Israel. Gideon heard God's call on the working end of a hoe out chopping in the fields. If you've ever been out chopping in the fields, you'd probably want somebody to call you too. Paul was gathering up troublemakers. He just went around and found a bunch of troublemakers all the time. Could it be that God cares about us and is involved in the everyday happenings of our lives? Many years ago, back when I was in high school, so that's a long time ago, the film Oh God tried to portray the message that God comes to us and wants us to be happy. God comes to us and wants us to be happy. In 1978, Oh God, the movie received an award for Best Fantasy Film of the Year. And I question fantasy? Fantasy that God cares? Is it truly a fantasy? I don't think so. For Peter, this also was a humbling experience. It humbled Peter as he was astonished at the power of Jesus. You see, part of Peter's eventual greatness was his ability to admit his own powerlessness in the face of the awesome power of God. Peter became humble when he saw what God was doing. He fell to his knees. But the same power that caused him to fall down on his knees at the feet of Jesus is the same power that lifted him back up. We answer Jesus' call not in our strength, but in Jesus' strength. Almost 30 years ago now, I remember leaving my home, my mom, my dad, my sisters, and going, and my little nephew was 4 years old, and now he's, 31 or two, good gracious. And he's in Alaska. When I went to Kentucky, that's how old he was when I left. And I went off to seminary. It took a whole day if you drove 600 and some miles. I thought, oh. I left. I went. I left everything I'd ever known. I had gotten rid of so many things. I had lived out on my own, and I had got everything, and I moved back in with my mom and dad. And I'd gotten rid of everything. I just had everything I owned was in a car, and it was going to Kentucky. And I thought, because God called me out one day and said, you got to do something about it. It was not the easiest thing I'd ever done. It was not the easiest thing that my family had ever done, to support me and to be there. But it was one of those things that God led the way, and God was always there preparing the way. There were times when I looked at my checkbook and I thought, good gracious, $3.02, and I don't get paid till whenever. I had more part-time jobs than you could count. I mean, I just had jobs all the time, doing whatever to work my way through. But somewhere all along the way, God kept working. People that loved me kept sending stuff. Out of the blue, people would send stuff. So things were good because God kept surprising me. God kept proving to me that, yes, this is what you're supposed to be doing. It might not always be easy. But, you know, I was happier doing that and happier doing this, even though sometimes people make me crazy, than I've ever been. You see, the call of God is not only an awesome and humbling experience, but it is also a joyful one as well. Obedience to Jesus' call starts us on the progressive road to being Christ-like. There is no more joyful journey in life than that of using our gifts to become more and more like Jesus. Doing what God calls us to do makes us happy. We may not always know what we are going to do tomorrow, but He will show us what to do today. And He will supply to us His power with which to do it. You see, that's joy, that God will take care of us. You know, I plan my week. I put things down of all the stuff that I'm supposed to do. And lots of time, and it will get done sometime, but it might not get done on the same day it's supposed to. It'll get done, though, because things happen. All of a sudden, I know where I'm supposed to be, somewhere else. God leads you to those people. This past week, being over at the home of the Hendrixes, whenever Reverend Hendricks passed away, I listened to different ones tell stories, and I heard Miss Margaret tell a story of him when he was in school at the college there in South Carolina, and he was on his way home, and he had this feeling that he needed to go see somebody in the church, and he turned around and he went back all the way to Columbia to check on this particular lady. And then he was so very late getting home that night, but he said, I needed to be there because she had just lost someone not too long before. And she said, you know, I was thinking about you today. and I was thinking that you were going to come by and talk with me. And you see, later that week, that lady died. You see, those type things happen all the time. Sometimes God has a way of saying, you might need to go stop by and see so-and-so. Or when you go by, you think, I might need to turn around and go back. Because that is when something's nudging you, you need to do it. You need to do it because it will bring you joy. William Bosch tells a story of a nun that received some extra grant money. She worked as a chaplain in the women's prison in Chicago. And she went to the women and she said unto them, she said, I've got something to ask you. She said, I have been granted some money through this grant program that I've written a grant for, and I want to spend it on you. And I'm going to give you some options of what I can do with this money. I can hire an attorney to come in and talk with you and try to get your sentences reduced. She said, or I can hire a welder to come in and teach you to weld so that when you get out of this place, you can have a marketable skill. And her last one is, she said, or I can hire a dancer and a painter, an artist, to teach you how to dance and to paint beautiful pictures. 95% chose the dancer and the painter because, as they said, they always wanted to express themselves, but they never had a chance. You see, the most positive, fulfilling, joyful experience that you will ever know is walking in the middle of God's will for your life. Walking right there along, right in the middle of it, being involved. Everybody happy? If we leave before we are given a chance to respond, or if we ignore God's call on our life, you and I will have to live with the consequences. So let's stay around a little while. Let's listen for what God has in store. Let's open up our hearts and our minds to truly feel that nudge and that call. Let us pray.